Does taking care of our health make us more gracious with others? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host for our series on health and healing. My conversation partners are health professionals from the Walla Walla Valley, Carl Bauer, an MD with a specialty in gastroenterology and a master's in nutrition, Donna Chin, an RN, registered dietitian, and also with a master's in nutrition. This is our last lesson in the series, and it has to do with social support, the tie that binds. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, and I'd like to come back to that. Does taking care of our health make us more gracious with others? Now, we had a conversation off air where you were saying that a number of people who are preoccupied with health, and you were the one that was mentioning this, Donna, don't enjoy life. They are, in fact, cranky. So if we take the right kind of care of our health, will it make us more gracious with others?
I believe so. I believe absolutely when you feel well that you are prone to be more buoyant in life. You're thinking less about yourself.
Yeah. You agree with that, Carl?
I agree completely.
Now, there's an interesting wrinkle in Adventist thinking, which I'd like to tie in here. Adventism came to life with an emphasis on the moral law. We're going to obey. But it wasn't until the 50s and then the 60s with Ellen White's health reform vision that we got the emphasis on the natural law. And she has some amazing statements, this one from the testimonies. It is just as much sin to violate the laws of our being as to break one of the Ten Commandments, for we cannot do either without breaking God's law. Okay, now the danger of that. This is the hazard. Health is something you can do. I mean, you can follow the rules and you can do that. And that makes very unhappy people. On the one hand, they can be discouraged, but it also gives them a certain kind of arrogance. And that's why I think, especially in Adventist circles, you kind of get this feeling, well, we lived right, better let us in, you know, hammer down the gates, you know, and that type of thing. And I think ultimately what happens, you come to 1888, where, because you can do certain things and you can abstain from external acts, but what can you do with anger? What can you do with bitterness? See, that's the internal stuff. And we're pretty powerless to deal with that, at least directly. And then you come to 1888, where you have now the emphasis on you can't do it yourself. It is Jesus who does it for us. This amazing statement from Ellen White, where she says, let the law take care of itself. We have been at work on the law until we get as dry as the hills of Gilboa without dew or rain. Let us trust in the merits of Jesus Christ. Once you recognize that whatever we do is out of gratitude for gifts of God, rather than we're going to earn our way in, it makes a huge difference, absolutely huge difference. So there's a unity between the moral law and the natural law. I've suggested here on the study guide Psalm 19, which is very interesting because the first part is the natural law. Heavens declare the glory of God, and then the law of the Lord is perfect. They're separated there. But in the Adventist experience, especially led by Ellen White, both are part of the same law, created by the same God. But how can we bring that about without making people grumpy, cranky, and unhappy? Because I've seen way too many people who get preoccupied with health, and they turn into very unhappy people. So, give us some answers as to how we can solve that problem.
I think the first thing we need to do is start recognizing that life is fluid. It's not static. Okay. And so...
But how would you convince someone who believes life is static that life is fluid? How would you go about that? Because that's really been the focus of my ministry. I've seen frightened people. And, in fact, we've had people up here. Remember many years ago, we had a woman who came and studied for summer school. And she was taking classes from Dr. Malcolm Maxwell and from me. And I remember one point about the middle of the summer where she just burst out. She said, I just wished that I'd known this stuff earlier, but I was warned, you know, about the dangers coming up here. I have seen the liberation of people who are frightened, and they begin to open up and enjoy more buoyant experience. You don't have to compromise the goals at all. The only difference is it becomes fun. All the difference in the world. So what can we do to turn that around? We've got some marvelous advantages as Adventists, but we've got some really heavy weather ahead if we're going to bring people who really are, you said life is fluid. How do we get that point across?
Generally speaking, I find that if someone is holding on too tight, it's because that they feel the need to be in control, and their struggle is basically with being able to let go of the control. And so we can call it a lifestyle issue, but I'm going to suggest that it's something a little bit different than that. And while I say that, I would never say I haven't suffered from elements of that myself. And that is, I know what I can do and I know how I can respond, and therefore, you know, I can make this happen. I can't trust you to. So whether that be on diet or exercise or lifestyle or choices, I know my own, and it takes a great deal of faith to stand back and let someone else do that as well.
So. I have gotten the impression, and I wish I could explore this more adequately, but I've gotten the impression that often people who give the appearance of being very rigid are really very frightened. And they need a structure, and that's why I think the simplicity of Adventism is such a wonderful gift. The one great command of love, the two commandments, and the Ten Commandments. It's a marvelous structure. Rather than saying everything has to fit into place, no, this is the framework within which then you apply and make the fluidities of life are illustrated and applied that way. But as I have worked with people, I think that they are scared to death in two areas, and this is very difficult to prove, but I have a number of evidence in this. Many frightened people are worried what would happen in the areas of sex and the areas of violence. They're afraid that the dark side of themselves will break out, break loose, if they lose that structure. And so they just kind of hang on for dear life. And they're kind of their eyes glaze over if they sense that something which is precious to them that makes sense out of the world. And it's in part like going on a trip. If you have three suitcases packed, and you know it's going to kill you lugging those around Europe, and somebody says, "Oh, just dump those two," scary. But if that person will take time, say, "Let me show how you can take what you need and put it in one suitcase." "Really?" "Yes, let me show you." Then there's a sense of gratitude, which can really come because then they will have their structure. They have what they need. They can go on to a more buoyant experience. The idea of social support, and I'd like to come back to this because you mentioned, Donna, you mentioned this several times, the importance of people. And I'd like to focus in on the one scripture here in Hebrews 10. I have been struck, for example, by the sociology of knowledge area. I'm not trained in it, but I'm teaching a class which forced me to get into it, religion and social context. And the sociologists say, the sociology of knowledge say, that much of what we consider reasonable is largely the consensus of the people around us. And that's pretty scary. But that's one reason why it's important to surround us, ourselves, with people who hold the same things, who for good reason are holding on to what we're doing there. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I like the NRSV there. It says, "Provoke one another to love and good deeds." So you come together and provide that support so that what we know, what I know that I want to support, I have the support of people around me. People of like standards, that for me is really very important.
I like that. I just finished reading a book by Eugene Peterson on the book of Galatians. And I was just really impressed as I read that book about how important freedom is. I mean, the book of Galatians is all about freedom, you know. People are trying to take their freedom away. And he puts it so beautifully in that he gives us the joy of being free, but we're free because of what God has done for us. We're not free to do evil, but we're free to be happy, joyful, exuberant Christians. And that just really struck me as being a wonderful approach.
And that's so clear in Galatians 5.
Yeah.
Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers right. and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love become slaves to one another. Now, when I saw that, I was astonished, because usually we think of flesh as being sexual sins.
Right.
But in there, it is anything which detracts from my relationship to others.
Right.
And it's a marvelous passage. The reason I came across that is that I was in some email correspondence with a former student, and it was very unhappy. He was angry. And finally, unfortunately, it wasn't continuous, but on a Friday afternoon, we'd had a burst of it, and I said, I wanted to tell him, let's take a holiday for the Sabbath. So I went to the fruit of the Spirit passage there and discovered, to my amazement, that it's not fruits, plural, it's fruit, singular. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That kind of experience, you see. Then I went back to verse 13, and that's where I think it is one of the most wonderful passages for solving the lifestyle issue. This is not simply something which we're designed to, you know, be mean, but it has everything to do with how we relate to one another. And I took that on our holiday. I spent the time memorizing it. It was just a great blessing to me. Galatians 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to hurt someone else. Okay. So that's a wonderful thing. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left here before we have to close up shop for this quarter. And on these lessons on health, do you have any further practical suggestions that we could make as to how we can make health a more buoyant experience, how we can make a community of believers that are concerned about health but not preoccupied in a cranky sort of way? Any other practical suggestions that you might have?
My first thought is that we focus on our why. If health is something that you wish to focus on, why? Find your why, and if your why is so that you can be a happier, healthier blessing to those around you, whether it's your family or your friends or the people that you work with, then let that be your motivator. And ultimately, that will determine whether or not you succeed or fail at whatever plan you attempt to follow.
Carl, do you have any last words of wisdom? You have such a wonderful way of presenting nutritional stuff and others to the community. And it's just been a real joy for me to hear you talk from time to time. My guess is that health, a positive attitude towards health is having positive people who represent health.
Right.
The fact that you're not grumpy makes a huge difference. So when you talk about health, I tend to take it pretty seriously. Because I see a very buoyant person. And it's been a real joy for me to relate to both of you, having you here. It's just a delight to have you here. Our time is up now.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Well, it's a real privilege for me because you have expertise which I don't have. So my thanks to both of you, and my thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the good word, I'm Alden Thompson. For those of you who would like to have access to Good Word recordings, let me point you in the direction of the website for Positive Life Radio, plr.org. That way you can access programs, find the good word, and you can listen happily ever after.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.